Welcome to The Randy Report. I'm Randy Slavacek, your host. I'm also the writer and editor of therandyreport.com, where you can find me every single day on the internet reporting on the daily news cycle in terms of politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. In this week's headlines, a deadly mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs resulted in 5 dead and more than 17 injured. The U.S. Senate moved past an important vote in the quest to enshrine same-sex marriage rights into law. Professional basketball player Isaac Humphries has come out as gay, and the Grammy Award nominations honored high-profile LGBTQ artists in several categories, including Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best New Artist. All that and more in this episode of The Randy Report. It was a very sad Sunday morning this past weekend to wake up to the news of a mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs, which resulted in 5 dead and more than 17 injured. Police say the shooter, identified as Anderson Lee Aldrich, 22 years old, was wearing body armor and armed with an AR-15-style rifle when he entered Club Q and immediately began shooting. Authorities say they began receiving numerous 911 calls at 11:57 p.m. Colorado Springs Police Chief Adrian Vasquez said in a press briefing Sunday morning that Aldrich was quickly confronted by 2 heroic patrons who stopped the shooter. Vasquez added, "We owe them a great debt." One of the heroes who jumped into action was Army veteran Richard Fierro, who was attending the drag show with his wife, daughter, and friends. He told the New York Times his military instincts, honed from 4 combat deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan, kicked in when the shooting began. He says he raced across the club and grabbed the shooter by a handle on his body armor, yanked him to the ground, and then jumped on top of him. The rifle fell out of reach, but Fierro saw Aldrich had a handgun, and so he grabbed it and began beating Aldrich with it. As the 2 men struggled, one patron moved the rifle out of range while another began stomping on Aldrich with her high heels. By the time the police arrived, Fierro says Aldrich was, quote, no longer struggling, to such a degree that our hero was concerned he might have killed him. Aldrich was taken to a local hospital for treatment, and no motive has been identified at this time. On Monday, the authorities identified the 5 people who were killed in the shooting as Kelly Loving, Daniel Aston, Derek Rump, Ashley Paw, and Raymond Green Vance. Sadly, Kelly Loving, who identified as a transgender woman, and Daniel Aston, who identified as a trans man, died in the minutes before the annual Transgender Day of Remembrance, which honors the memory of transgender people whose lives were lost in acts of anti-trans violence. Also, Raymond Green Vance has been identified as the boyfriend of our hero, Richard Fierro's daughter. Members of the LGBTQ community around Colorado Springs said Club Q had felt like a haven in a conservative city long known for its anti-gay activism. Bird Berg, 31 years old, who attended a vigil with his wife, told the New York Times, "This club was our refuge for our community. I'm completely devastated." In a statement on social media, Club Q said it was devastated by the senseless attack on our community and offered condolences to the victims and their families. The club also expressed thanks to the quick reactions of the patrons that subdued the gunman. Aldrich is currently being held on suspicion of 5 counts of murder and 5 counts of committing a bias-motivated crime causing injury. But authorities underscored that those counts have only been entered as arrest-only charges, and they could change or be added to as the investigation continues. Aldrich was reportedly arrested in June 2021 on attempted bombing and kidnapping charges and seems to be well known to Colorado Springs police. But the authorities apparently never followed through on the charges, which might have triggered Colorado's red flag law. That law might have helped keep guns out of Aldrich's hands. This new mass shooting incident instantly brings to mind the hideous 2016 mass shooting at Pulse Nightclub, a gay club in Orlando, Florida, which left 49 dead and dozens more injured. Colorado Governor Jared Polis, who's one of the few out gay governors in the country, issued a statement which reads, in part, "The Club Q shooting in Colorado Springs was horrific, sickening, and devastating news to wake up to. My heart breaks for the family and friends of those lost, injured, and traumatized in this horrific shooting. We are eternally grateful for the brave individuals who blocked the gunman, likely saving lives in the process, and for the first responders who responded swiftly to this horrific shooting. Colorado stands with our LGBTQ community and everyone impacted by this tragedy as we mourn." Australian basketball pro and former NBA player Isaac Humphries has come out as gay, becoming the only openly gay player currently in a top 10 men's basketball league. Humphries, who's 24, formerly played for the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA and now plays for Melbourne United in Australia's National Basketball League, the NBL. He is the first NBL player to come out as gay. In a video shared on social media that instantly went viral, the 24-year-old starting center not only revealed he's gay to his teammates, he also spoke about his past struggles and offered a hopeful message to closeted athletes.
Look, this is going to be probably one of the hardest conversations I've ever had in my life, but life's about doing hard things and learning from them and making a difference through those hard times. So bear with me, but I have some things I want to fill you in on and let you know about myself and my future. A few years ago, I fell into a very dark place, a very lonely place. I couldn't be who I am, and I attempted to take my life. And the main reason behind me becoming so low and being in that point is because I was very much struggling with my sexuality and coming to terms with the fact that I'm gay. And I hated it about myself. I was disgusted at myself. I thought that I could not be that person within our environment, within a basketball environment. And it wasn't until I was in a community that's full of pride and happiness and joy, and it was a big wake-up call for me. But then came the big, you know, question mark of how do I be a basketball player and how do I join a new team when I've finally come to terms with this about myself and I don't want to hide who I am anymore. I decided that if I'm going to join a team, that I'm going to come out publicly and just make sure people know, that you can live and you don't have to hide just because you're an athlete. But I do want to say, you know, like, we as athletes, as professional athletes, we have a responsibility to set examples for people. And the truth is, there are so many people in other worlds that are struggling every single day and don't know how to get up, don't know how to exist. And I know how that feels, and I want to represent those people. That's my goal behind this. Make sure people know that you can be whatever you want, no matter who you are or what you do. You can be big ice and be gay, and you can still be a great basketball player and be gay. You can do whatever you want. It has nothing to do with your sexuality or who you are or who you're meant to be or who you're expected to be. I just want to be myself. I've discovered this is my purpose in life, and I'm gonna give it my best go.
Humphries is just the second male basketball player to come out as gay while playing in a top-tier league, after former NBA player Jason Collins came out while playing for the Washington Wizards in 2013. The 6'11" athlete has experienced different sporting environments across the globe, previously playing Division I NCAA college basketball for the Kentucky Wildcats, before stints in the NBA, the G League, and in Europe. He returned to Australia to play for the Adelaide 36ers in 2020 and then signed with Melbourne earlier this year. Humphrey says it was while in Los Angeles last year that he was able to feel happy about his sexuality after seeing members of the LGBTQ community living in a positive environment for the first time. Acknowledging the decision to come out has changed his life immeasurably, Humphrey says, quote, "I have a weight lifted off my shoulders. 25 years of weight." Congratulations to Isaac Humphreys for living your authentic life and being a role model for young LGBTQ people. Last week, the U.S. Senate voted to open debate on a bill that would codify federal protections for same-sex marriage, signaling that the legislation has sufficient Republican support to pass. Lawmakers advanced the legislation, known as the Respect for Marriage Act, in a 62-37 vote, just days after Majority Leader Chuck Schumer vowed to proceed on the updated version of the measure released by a bipartisan group of senators. A dozen Republicans voted with all of the Democrats to advance the legislation. Those 12 Republicans are Senators Roy Blunt of Missouri, Richard Burr of North Carolina, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, Dan Sullivan of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, and Todd Young of Indiana. It may or may not be worth noting that Senators Roy Blunt, Richard Burr, and Rob Portman are retiring from Congress at the end of this year. The bipartisan group that crafted the bill, led by Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, signaled this week that the bill would have at least 10 GOP votes needed to pass the upper chamber during the lame duck session. Democrats needed at least 10 Republicans to support the bill in order for it to overcome the 60-vote procedural hurdle before a final floor vote can take place. Senate Democrats want to pass the legislation before the new Congress convenes in January, when Republicans are expected to take control of the House by a narrow margin. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has announced the final Senate vote on the bill will occur after the Thanksgiving holiday. The bill will then go back to the House for a vote on the amended language before it can head to President Biden's desk, where he has already signaled he will sign it into law. The nominees for the 2023 Grammy Awards have been announced, with LGBTQ artists recognized in each of the big four categories. It's therefore possible that when the show airs on February 5th, we could see out LGBTQ musicians walk away with awards for Song of the Year, Record of the Year, Best New Artist, and Album of the Year. There's also an array of representation in the genre categories, including pop, rock, country, and R&B. The 2023 nominations were led by Beyoncé with 9 nominations, meaning she is now tied with her husband Jay-Z as the most nominated artist in Grammy history, with a total of 88 nominations. Kendrick Lamar is this year's second biggest nominee, closely followed by Adele and Brandi Carlile with 7 nominations each. Here's a list of how LGBTQ artists fared this year. As I just mentioned, groundbreaking folk singer Brandi Carlile nabbed 7 nominations. She scored 2 nominations in the Big Four categories, including Album of the Year for In These Silent Days and Record of the Year for You and Me on the Rock, featuring Lucius, as well as a pair of rock nominations, one for Best Rock Performance for Broken Horses and another for Best Rock Song for You and Me on the Rock. Alt-R&B artist Steve Lacy earned 4 Grammy nominations for his work this year, including Record and Song of the Year for Bad Habit. Sam Smith and Kim Petras didn't manage to earn any Big Four nods, but they did get a nomination in the Best Pop Duo Group Performance for their number one hit, Unholy. This marks the first ever Grammy nomination for Petras, who identifies as transgender. And these are the first nominations for Smith, who identifies as non-binary, since they swept the Big Four categories in 2015 with Stay With Me and In the Lonely Hour. out artists Anita and Omar Apollo scored nominations for their breakthrough albums, Versions of Me and Ivory, respectively. And Randy Report favorite Randy Rainbow scored his first Grammy nomination for his variety album titled A Little Brains, A Little Talent in the Best Comedy Album category. Congratulations to everyone on your nominations, and we will be seeing you February 5th. And speaking of music, out singer-songwriter Ryan Neelan recently dropped his newest single, Bring You Home, a deeply personal ballad about suppressing who you are for the happiness of others. The intimate guitar-driven track has an undeniable emotional tug from the downbeat, and as the artful production builds with an almost cinematic sweep, Neelan's achingly vulnerable vocals reveal his fears of being rejected if he were ever to bring a romantic partner home to his family. The rising indie artist has scored over 5 million streams of his catalog. Neelan's acclaimed single, What Makes a Man, one of my personal favorite new tracks of 2022, has already garnered over 350,000 streams since its release in February 2022. In a Q&A for my blog, therandyreport.com, Neelan shared with me that Bring You Home was inspired by, quote, a realization that I had in my late 20s. I was the reason why I wasn't in a relationship. I was self-sabotaging every opportunity because I was subconsciously afraid that people wouldn't accept me even after coming out as queer almost 6 years ago. He added, as a queer person, even if your family is supportive, mine is ridiculously supportive, it doesn't make the fear of being accepted go away. I wanted to express not only how hard it is to come out, but to openly be in a relationship with someone of the same gender. Even after telling my family, I'm still a little nervous to bring someone home because I have no idea what kind of reaction would come of it. Let's take a listen to Ryan Neelan's Bring You Home.
Don't know if I'll be ready to lose someone when I bring you home. Someone who loved me before I was even 3 years old. Wanted to wait until my grandma died, cause I didn't wanna add to the pain. I know the timing won't ever be right, but I'm still afraid to say your name. Cause I'm not done learning how to be proud of who I am. And where I come from, they don't take the time to understand. I would rather hide than let them know. It's easy. Selfish to lead you on when I still don't know myself. Cause it's too easy to hold my tongue and put you through hell. Wanted to wait until my parents were older so I could give them the son I thought they wanted. But all I gave them was someone they'll never know. Cause I'm not done learning how to be proud of who I am. And where I come from, they don't take the time to understand. I would rather hide than let them know. It's easier for me to be alone. I'm not ready to lose someone when I bring you home. Bring you than learning how to be proud of who I am. And where I come from, they don't take the time to understand. I would rather hide than let them know. It's easier for me to be alone. I'm not ready to lose someone when I bring you home.
Bring You Home, available now on all major music streaming and download sites, is the fifth track from Neelan's upcoming album, Losing Sleep and Losing Friends, scheduled for release in late 2023. And that brings me to the end of this episode of The Randy Report. If you enjoy catching up on LGBTQ news in a quick podcast, I'd appreciate it if you would share it with your friends. I like to think of The Randy Report as the 60 minutes of gay news, only shorter. And remember, you can find me every single day on the internet at therandyreport.com, where I cover the daily news cycle regarding politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next time.